It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Tuesday, the 9th of February, 2021. It's snowing in London. England have just beaten India in the first test match, which kind of ruins my morning plans to have the TV on next to my desk, but still a fantastic result. And this is for professional investors only and never investment advice. The reflation trade got the upper hand yesterday morning. We saw the oil price move above $60 a barrel. Remember, it was deeply negative in the depths of March last year, so upward pressure on inflation. And when we came into the office yesterday morning, 30-year US Treasury bonds were trading with a 2% yield for the first time in months and months and months. So Asian time, big sell-off in US Treasuries. But it didn't last for very long, to be honest. So remember, we were down at 1.2% in August. Since then, it's been a one-way move upwards in long-dated Treasury yields. So start of February at 1.8, and then we got to 2% yesterday. So a 15% capital fall for 30-year US Treasury bonds since August last year. Big, big move. But it didn't take long to reverse. And actually, where we stand today, we've had 2 days in a row now of rallying long-dated US Treasury bonds. They're back down at 1.92% in yield. I think we do have to be a bit nervous about the sell-off in bonds. I think that, you know, there are lots of good reasons for that to be happening right now. But I also think that we have to be a bit nervous about what that means for other risk asset classes, because yesterday we saw US high yield markets trade towards their record all-time yield lows. So with a 3% handle for the market as a whole. Remember, that's including triple C rated bonds. It's an average of all the bond markets trading below 4%. So when you've got government guaranteed AA rated assets trading at 2% and junk is trading below 4%, obviously the gap between the two is very low. There's a big duration mix match, obviously, and you might worry more about US Treasuries in some ways if you're worried about tapering and rates going up than you are about a short duration asset in high yield. But nevertheless, if US Treasuries really do start to slide, that's going to be incredibly bad news, in my view, for equities, high yield credit, and a number of other risky asset classes. Right, the second thing I want to talk about today is the US dollar, and Bank of America have been quite bearish on the US dollar, but they've just done a big about turn. Right now, dollar euro is trading at just around 1.2%. The consensus for the year end is 1.20 against the US dollar euro exchange rate. Consensus is for it to go to 1.25, i.e. the dollar weakening. Bank of America have moved that their forecast down to 1.15, having been previously bearish on the dollar. Here are their five reasons for why they think the dollar is going to be strong for the rest of the year. Number one, it's going to be monetary policy divergence between the Federal Reserve and the ECB. Not necessarily in terms of action, although potentially the ECB might do more monetary policy than is priced in before the end of the year, but maybe signalling what they'll be doing in 2022. And, you know, lots of people now talking the potential for the Federal Reserve to start tapering ahead of rate rises, maybe the Bank of England tapering QE ahead of, or reversing QE ahead of rate rises. But certainly some divergence on the monetary policy front between the Fed and the ECB. Secondly, it's simply the volume of US fiscal stimulus, and you know, we've got that going through the legislative program at the moment in the United States, but it's undoubted that we are going to get loads of stimulus checks, more spending on infrastructure, green projects, etc., etc., and that's going to drive US growth. And point three is really about that divergence in growth. So Bank of America expect US growth to be more than twice that of the EU over the course of this year. So divergence and decoupling, it really is the difference in growth rates that's going to be the important driver of relative monetary fiscal policy growth rates, and those things are going to be behind the outperformance of the US dollar. All of those three, I must say, are fairly similar reasons. It's really about the differential outlook for economic growth between the US and the Eurozone. The next one, though, is a bit more specific, I think. It's around general market bearishness on the US dollar and the technical positioning. So I'm looking at the moment at leverage funds exposure to US dollars and, you know, very, very short bearish US dollar positioning at the moment. So everybody is very negative on the dollar. And at times like this, you know, who's the next marginal seller of the US dollar that will allow it to underperform further? And finally, the outlook for risk assets, according to Bank of America, is challenged. This isn't about economic growth necessarily or about coronavirus. It's simply about valuations. You know, risk assets are extremely highly valued in terms of PE, forward-looking PEs, credit spreads, all of those sorts of things. So if you're a bit nervous about the outlook for risk assets, then it's probably worthwhile having things like US dollar, and indeed the Japanese yen, in your portfolio, because they tend to be negatively correlated with risk assets and work well in a risk-off scenario. So most of those arguments from BOA are about relative growth rates, but there are a couple about technical positioning and the role of the dollar as a kind of defensive play in a world where risk assets could sell off. Important. Okay, finish off with news that Tesla has bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, sending the price up of Bitcoin another 8% yesterday to above $44,000. So, you know, important development. Musk also talking about allowing customers to pay for cars in Bitcoin. I guess question is, will he fix the price of his cars in Bitcoin, or will it just be an effectively a floating exchange rate against the US dollar, and he'll price his cars in US dollar? If it was setting the price of his cars in Bitcoin, I think that would be much more interesting. It's an extremely volatile currency, inverted commas. So it'd be a brave thing to do. In the absence of that happening, I think you can't really say that Bitcoin is behaving like a currency. Also, a bit of inconsistency from Elon Musk. You know, the electric vehicle is there to save the planet, but the Bitcoin network, according to some estimates, just mining, people mining Bitcoin all day long, consuming as much energy as 2 million US houses. So Bitcoin itself is an environmental disaster. Tesla has now become this mixture of electric vehicles saving the planet and Bitcoin's destroying the planet. Anyway, have good days. I'll speak to you later in the week. Goodbye from snowy London.